Your address, please. 3 minute comment. Are you doing 3 minute comments?
No, I'm just speaking. You just so I can come up. To
please, because it's not here. Okay.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry, Ms. Williams. I didn't even recognize you with the mask on. I'm sorry. Because honestly, you're not on the agenda, so there's no way for me to know that you're here to speak to us. Well, let's do a roll call real quick before we jump into this, okay? And I'll start this out. Ms. Lee?
Here, present.
Mr. Robertson?
Present.
We'll take but a minute.
Here.
Thank you. Mr. Wesson?
Present.
John Trent's here. And we have a special guest tonight, Ms. Williams from Roanoke Chowan Community College. I was just informed of since it wasn't on the agenda, but anyhow, she may come on in and speak to us. And I'm going to go ahead and bump her up to the front and go from there, okay? All right. Thank you, Ms. Williams.
No problem. Good evening, everyone. I just stopped by to the meeting tonight just to introduce myself to everyone. I know some of the commissioners I have met, but not all of you. So I wanted to say hi. And just to say how excited I am about being at Roanoke Chowan Community College and serving the Bertie County community. Thank you.
Well, we appreciate Ms. Williams. I think Ms. Williams, tell everybody where you came from.
I came from Georgia. Mm-hmm. I worked in the technical college system of Georgia. I previously served at two of their technical colleges. One was Atlanta Technical College and the other was Southern Crescent Technical College.
And Dr. Williams, tell them what's happened so far since you've been at Roanoke Chowan Community College as far as enrollment, things of that nature. I got to brag a little bit about this lady. She's done a heck of a job is all I got to say.
Our enrollment has increased substantially. Our curriculum enrollment for the fall we had the highest enrollment percentage increase of 53% of all 58 community colleges.
Oh, wow. Good job.
That's a huge accomplishment. Uh-huh. And she's done an excellent job since she's been there. I want to commend you and thank you for coming to Roanoke Chowan Community College, and we really appreciate having you there.
Thank you.
The last person we never did see. So, yeah, this is a nice improvement already.
Thanks, Ms. Williams.
And you know what? You can pop in anytime you want to, and not be on the agenda. It's just these masks are like, you know, who is this? Okay.
Well, I'll let you know that I'm coming next time.
All right, I appreciate that. No problem. Not a problem.
Ms. Williams, I wanted to welcome you to Bertie as well. Just delighted to have you. You know, I'm a trustee for Martin Community College, which also we're kind of unique in having two community colleges here in the county. So I can just say as a trustee of Martin, we look forward to working with you. I don't know if you know Mr. Better.
I do.
Great.
We're actually working on a partnership.
Now that's what I'm talking about. That's what we need. That's what we need. So there's plenty of room for both of us and a lot of work to get done. So welcome and thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. Williams,
for being here. Have a good day. Thank you. All right, we're going to move on down the line. Mr. Rodney Tart with Green Engineering Water Systems Asset Inventory. I think everybody's been given a handout, have they not?
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. It's good to be back again. If y'all recall, y'all hired us back in about the end of 2013, and we went to work on a lot of things and trying to secure grant funds and loan funds for several improvements. Along that time, the legislature started a program, Asset Inventory and Assessment. And I'm happy to say today that we were successful in bringing in approximately $600,000 in grant funds to further do assessments and inventory of your system. When we came here, all your maps pretty much were hand-drawn like traditional and some computer-drawn, but we really didn't know where all your assets were. And over time, things get lost and dislocated. So out of this grant, we were able to physically go out and take survey measurements and get GPS coordinates. So your meters, your hydrants, and most of your pipe intersections and all your other pertinences are now digitally with lat and long GPS coordinated. Now, the beautiful thing about the GIS system, which y'all have a good GIS department here, is there's a lot of other attributes that can be added to your system. This project did not pay for all these additional layers, but one of the things that this project does pay for is we're going to invite Ricky and whoever else and staff, and we're encouraging Ricky to bring your GIS person, because your GIS director will be the one who primarily does the assistance in getting this in digital format as additional assets are brought along. And if we are successful in doing another project for you, one of the final things that we'll do on a project now is we would do what's referred to as GIS as-builds. So everything will be in digital format, and then that will be handed over to the county GIS department, and then that'll be integrated into your now new digital system. I'm not going to labor long, because I know somebody probably want to go see that Georgia Alabama football game. So I'm going to be like the three B's of public speaking, be standing up, be speaking, be sitting back down. All right. I handed out to all of y'all an aggregate of all four districts. And District 4, if you recall, we started with District 4 because at that time, Roxabelle was losing water and their well had gone dry. And so the county rescued that system, and we took that over. So that made a strong application to kick off to get your first $150,000 grant. And then from there, we went through the other three districts, and actually District 1 was the last district that we did. On the front, there's of the four districts, each one of these, we've itemized what the assets are. And if you want me to read them every one, I can. If you don't, I don't really need to do that. The other thing I want to call to your attention is your next steps in this process, and this is outside the $600,000 worth of grants that we got for these four water districts, is to make a final condition of the assets, do a new capital improvement plan, which we set up the county to do a capital improvement plan when we finished our original evaluation of the system. And we encourage staff to submit to the board each year when you do your budget that you do an updated capital improvement plan. And when you go after state and federal funding now, they want to see an asset in a capital improvement plan that's not over 2 years old. So if you got a project that you want to apply for, we need to determine what those costs are, and they need to be integrated into your capital improvement plan as it comes. Now, one other good thing that I'd like, there's two things I want to brag to the county about that y'all should be really pleased with. One is you're one of the very first counties to get the whole entire county of this size done with the amount of assets that you have. And we worked very hard. It took two attempts to get District 1. That was the last one to get it funded. But this is a competitive process. And we try to encourage our clients to pay attention to the managerial attributes that need to be looked after and improved on annually so that you can be more competitive with your money. Now, as you know, one of the things that's just coming up that's important is the American Recovery Plan, and there's a lot of money that's going to be given out to that. And the priority clients is going to be systems that's under distress. And Bertie County was one of the of a few counties that was recognized as distressed. So we're saying that you're going to get some priority for that. So one of the things you're going to need to do in this budget process is you need to update your capital improvement plan. Ricky's been sharing with me some things that he needs. And one is he was looking at if we could get funding to do some replacement in the Woodville-Lewiston system, because he's incurred a lot of water loss and leaks in that community. And then another one is we identified some water line extension, and we'll just kind of have to prioritize that out and see where we think the best application will score at to get money. And this money that'll be coming to the county, if we're successful, will be all grant money. There won't be any loan money on this. So if we're looking at improvements that's got to be made outside this American recovery money, we would have to borrow money. And right now, you don't need to incur any more debt unless you're going to be picking up new cash registers. That is new customers to help defray and pay that new debt service off. So if you're looking at improvements that are necessary, but there's not going to be any new revenue from it, I would say the Woodville-Lewiston area is. And then there's been several requests in for water line extensions on the Albemarle Sound right below Coran. And we have talked about that from time to time, your staff and I have. So I think it's important to note that. And
excuse me, Mr. Tark, can I ask a question?
Sure.
So would that money also cover, I hear from fire chiefs all the time about the hydrants in their districts and how some are not working, some are leaking.
Yes, if it's failed infrastructure.
Yes.
If it's failed infrastructure, we're going to be going hard at that. And that has to be identified, and that's got to be put in your capital improvement plan. And we'll go as far as we can go. But understand again, it's free money, but it's still competitively going sought. So when we do this application, you know, is your operating ratio above one? In other words, are you taking in more money than you're spending? If you're below one, that takes points away from you. So y'all did do a rate increase, but you may have to do another rate assessment. If you have to do another rate assessment in this distress program, they will pay for that. They got money to do that. So from an engineering aspect, we can quantify where your water's going and you'll know where you need to put your rate focus at. The other thing I want to say that for bragging rights for the county is that y'all saw the wisdom in starting an asset management plan. It's not complete, and it's continuously needs to be upgraded. And that asset plan now is about 4 years old, so it needs to be upgraded. And with this data here, it will be incorporated into that. And then there'll probably need to be an updated manual, a maintenance and operational plan. So that's in the back page of each one of these districts. So that's something that we need to be cognizant of, because you're now entering into your budget. So you got time to do that. We're going to have a workshop we'll be attending, I believe, in about early March. And at that time, we will take that workshop for the funding applications, and we'll find out any other particulars that we think may enhance Bertie County in helping you score well. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'm gonna hush, and then you ask me any questions y'all feel like you need to.
Anybody have any questions? Go ahead, Ron.
Ronnie, I do have one question, and this may have been our oversight or something that we should have known, but when we did our last budget, we were looking at water, we found that some of the software, well, we needed to incur additional costs to make some of the software that we had operational that we were not aware, at least the water department did not think they were aware of initially. So was that our oversight, or was that something that came out of the blue or whatever?
But they were additional. Let me make sure I understand what you said. In other words, your current billing software has some shortcomings, and it's not able to provide some of the information and data that you need.
That's not my understanding, but I'll see if the county manager has it. We remember when we were talking with Ricky, and he came back to us and said that there was additional funds that needed to be spent. The reason we were partially over budget on the water was because there was some software that had to be purchased that he didn't understand was a part of the cost to make everything operate as it should.
I don't recall or know exactly. Maybe William does, or maybe Ricky might be on the call and he can speak to that.
The maintenance. Okay. Right. Is that just something typical, Ronnie, that we should have kind of realized that was built in cost, or any way to avoid that kind of thing?
Well, you have a sophisticated system, and you put in $1 million worth of infrastructure facilities. And on something as big as this is, you need to have ongoing maintenance. Some of it requires software, and those softwares, it's just like billing software, accounting software. There are annual renewing fees for maintenance of that to support that. I don't know if that it could have been an oversight, but with as busy, as limited as your water staff is, and with as much facilities as you got to look after, it was our recommendation that you bring in and enter into contract with software help. Now, there's one I don't know that he's entered into yet that will come in and do semi-annually updates and calibrations. But he did, Rick, I know the department did incur additional expense on the chlorine analyzers for each one of the well sites so that he could not have to go every single day to a well.
Yeah. Well, we were able to handle it during the budget process, but it kind of threw us for a loop. So we want to make sure that we're looking at all total, you know, costs associated with whatever we're adding or if we decide to, because that kind of threw us for a little bit of a loop.
Yeah. And as you improve, one of the things on this GIS data that we've started that your GIS department will do is you may have renewal cost in that. I don't know what that is, but once Ricky and the GIS staff take some training under this, we'll try to identify that. But you're constantly every 5 years, you're updating software. You're lucky if you can get 5 years out of a lot of software.
Let me ask a question real quick.
Just so tight that we've got to capture every single, you know, associated cost.
Right. And you want to annually keep looking at your operational ratio, because on your dashboard, oil pressure sometimes is a whole lot more important than the speed you're running down the road. So OR, operational ratio, is one of the critical. It's like your blood pressure.
Let me ask a question real quick. How often we happen to do this maintenance on the software, or what he's talking about, the maintenance? Okay, but we have an annual contract. Is that figured in the budget already? Okay, was it when we turn around and refigured the border numbers, okay, was it in that budget that was given to us saying this is what the budget is, now this is what we're going to have to go to? Was it in that budget?
Should have been.
The water department budget.
But this year?
This year,
yeah. Yes. All right, when we turned around and increased the water July 1st of 2021, okay, mm-hmm. Prior to that, we sat down and went over the budget, okay? We had a $2.7 million budget, right? Okay. Was that in that $2.7 million budget?
Most likely, because
the project was done several years ago. Okay. I want to make sure of that, because there's a cost factor here. Okay. If we're not covered, it's got to come from other places, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the deal. And Mr. Manager, if you can find out that it was in the budget, that we've got it covered, okay, with what we've done with our increases, mm-hmm. I'll feel a lot more comfortable. Okay. Yeah. And that's the deal. Thanks for bringing that up. Any other questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
If I could just, in closing, for the record, we're going to need to submit minutes of this meeting, and we would like for the board to accept or approve this report, and that'll be in the minutes, and we'll submit those minutes of this action, and we'll turn that in with our report to the state for part of the money that we've received.
I know we just got this the information. Has everybody had a chance just to brush through it and see what the inventory lists are? I have myself. Mm-hmm. And if there's any questions in reference to this. Okay. I don't have any questions. Can we have a motion in reference to this?
I make a motion. We approve the water districts 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 asset assessments and inventory report.
Yeah. And second motion.
Okay. I got a second from motion by Ms. Lee and a second by Mr. Robertson. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Tart, thank you very much. And we appreciate the service you do for us.
Yes, sir.
All right. See you, Mr. Green. All right, number two on the list is going to be the support of the annual Crossroads Magazine for February 2022 is Anna Phipps.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, Ms. Phipps. How are you?
I'm doing good. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. You want to tell us a little bit of something?
Yes, I would. Thank you all for allowing me to come before you tonight to discuss our Crossroads 2022 edition. Roanoke Chillin Publications will be inserting our annual edition in the February 24th edition of our Gates County Index and the February 23rd edition of our Roanoke Chillin News Herald. This year's theme is going to be all about treasures, treasures of the Roanoke Chillin area, the people, places, and things in Bertie, Hereford, Northampton, and Gates counties that all make us unique. Through this edition, your advertising message will reach an audience of over 7,000 readers. Extra copies will be printed and sent out within the four county chambers of commerce and the economic development offices. We'll also put them at welcome centers and tourism centers outside of the Roanoke Chillin area and the various corporate offices. This total editorial and advertising piece is often used as a selling tool by these places. Bertie County usually locks in the prime position of page 3 in the magazine, and you do have the opportunity to upgrade to the center spread as it's available at this time. The cost of page 3 is the same at $15.15, with the additional $100 for the web impressions that go on the Roanoke Chillin News Herald website. And the center spread is $23.75, along with the addition of $100 for the web impressions. Do you have any questions?
Anybody have any questions? Okay, typically we always do the 15-15. If anybody has no opposition, we're going to stay with that.
Page 3, yeah.
Okay, page 3, 15-15 is what the cost is. We need a motion on that.
Let me ask one question, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, did we use the same ad the last couple of years, or did we change it the last time?
For Crossroads. Yeah. Go ahead, Anna.
Okay, the second one, the one that we did this time actually was the same, I think it was the exact same.
Yeah, I was thinking that, and you know, and now this year's theme is treasures, right? Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, there's some treasures obviously in Bertie County, so maybe we could play off that theme, the okay. Tall glass water, some other things. So how long do we have before submitting a new ad?
We have till February 1st.
Yeah. So if we think we have enough time, it might be nice to try to create something a little different, a little, since we use the same 2 years.
Yeah. Is that going to give you enough time, County Manager?
Yes.
To throw something together?
We can.
Okay.
We can.
You might want to get Robin involved with that.
It's not in Bertie County, but it's part of Bertie County. That's a treasure. I would love to see it displayed.
Yeah, you might want to get Robin involved. She could probably throw some stuff at you real quick.
Play on that theme of treasure, because we have a lot of them here.
We do have some great treasures here. Just our people in general. Our treasures.
But anyway. Okay. Thank you. All right. Can I have a motion?
Yeah, I'll make
this?
A motion that we go with the page 3, our usual 15-15 ad.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Lee. Can I have a second, please?
Second.
All right. Mr. Wesson, second. All in favor? Aye. Aye. Thank you very much. Ms. Phipps, thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. Fiscal year 2021. Financial summary by Finance Director William Roberson. Thanks, William. Thank you.
Okay, this is through November, because December I have not completely closed out yet, so I couldn't get December's. In 5 months, you would be looking at roughly 41.6% being what you would expect to see. Uh-huh. As you notice, the revenue, we're at 26.6, but compared to last year, we're at 24, so our revenue is looking a little better. Uh-huh. That always runs a little bit of a lag because of the way sales tax and all comes in.
Right.
Expenditures, bottom line, is 35.2. There's a couple throughout here that may be picked up as trouble areas for like elections. But you have to remember, elections has the election. We spend that money, a large part of money, and then we don't have anything going on for several months. So that's going to gradually start coming back down and fall more in line. because we don't have an election event happening every month. One of the other ones that I think needs to be looked at is the very bottom line, total debt service. And the reason I want to talk about that one is because of the way my debt is falling. I'm having some debt that's being paid off, but in replace of it, new debt is rising for like the high school. So the high school was actually paid a little earlier in the year than the debt that I made paid in like December or January. So it's just a matter of shifting where it's going to happen at. But it's still basically the same amount of money.
All right, you're just moving the money, correct? Yeah. All right, gotcha. But it's going to offset itself before year end.
Because.
Okay.
Let me ask one question. Wait a minute. Because I remember you talked to us one time about that before, because I thought that when we paid off something, like, you know, coming up to the hospital, we'd see a big boom. But you said no, because that's figured into the way the debt was laid out. Right?
If you,
well, first off, the hospital, we don't even have
it's
that.
It's a pastor, right?
But like for the, say, the previous high school debt that we had, middle school debt, the way the high school, the new high school was purchased, is what they call leveraging. So basically, it said, we're going to pay the same amount, but as one debt falls off,
we pay more.
Increase the debt that we pay into the school.
Right.
So basically, we still got the same kind of debt, but it's just going to different categories.
Well, our payment's the same. Right. And what it boils down to is they're just taking that money and it goes back towards the high school. That's the way the loan was structured in the very beginning. And that was before us. So make a long story short, that's how it was structured. And that's the way it's going. So
now, if you notice down at the bottom, the cash, we got about $1.4 million than we had last year at this time, which is always good to have more cash in the bank.
And that's $5,460,000. $5,456,000 versus $4,071,000. Okay.
Flip over to the back.
That's good, man. That's good, Will. So that's good.
Oh, yeah. It makes me excited.
It makes me excited too, man. Either.
On the back, we have water. You'll notice that the water revenue is running a lot higher than it did last year at this time. Sales and services actually looking very good for the water department. I know we had a little bit of a rate increase, but still, it looks good. Expenditures, even though they're up a fraction compared to last year, they're still well below the 41.6%.
Okay, good.
I also would like to point out down at the bottom, the reimbursables that I put down here. The first one, which is tall glass of water, there's been a reimbursement submitted on December 21st. So there is money being requested. We actually received $81,000 from DRA 17 on January the 3rd.
Yay.
I actually had to go through several jumps to get it, but I finally got that money in.
And that dates back to when? 2016 or 17?
At least 2 years.
Two years ago? Okay.
And then the final one is the library cooperative extension. I submitted paperwork before the Christmas holiday. I've got some revisions sent back to me, and they were got submitted back today. So hopefully by the end of the month, or at least by the end of February, that should be taken care of.
And that's close to $300,000 that's due us, correct?
It's going to be close to $400,000.
$400,000? Okay.
Because of the final payment that had to be made in December. So it's going to be close to $400,000.
So it's going to be close to $400,000 that we've already wrote checks for. We're waiting on to be reimbursed on that.
Right.
And that's a Golden Leaf grant, correct?
Yes.
Okay. We've been in contact with them. They've got the information they need now.
Yeah, I mean, I got an email through the holidays about some revisions they wanted me to make, and I've made them and sent them back in.
Okay.
All right. I haven't seen in today.
Good. All right.
The DRA money, is that the same money that
was that $1 million that we were supposed to get, and then they had some discrepancy on how we were going to spend it or whatever, and then they didn't like what Holland had done, and they finally reached an agreement that we could charge so much a month for administrative fees. And I submitted the new paperwork. Thought everything was taken care of. And when I went back to research it, they said I had one other form I had to fill out that I did not send in, but nobody told me about. So I filled that in and sent that in. So finally got that money. So,
all right.
Well, William, I want to compliment you. I mean, this is what, you know, we really need, because this is the kind of thing that, you know, we can see from month to month. It gives us confidence to let us know we're on the right track, right? So. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, William.
All right.
Good job.
Thanks for the report, William. Thank you.
Great job, man.
All right. We'll go down to board appointments. We have a reappointment for CADA, Mr. James Peel.
I make a motion we approve the reappointment of James Peel to CADA.
Okay.
I'll second it.
All right. We have a proper first and a second. All in favor? Aye. Thank you. Reappointment of Dr. Chris Corden to CADA. I make that motion.
I'll second that motion.
Okay. I'll make that motion to reappoint Dr. Corden to CADA. And Mr. Robertson has made a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Consent agenda. Approved tax release journal, November 2021. Is Jody on the line? Or do we need Jody for this? Okay. Everybody's reviewed it. I have. You have a motion, please.
Move to approve.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Wesson. Thank you, Mr. Robinson.
Yeah.
Mr. Robinson seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Approved registered deed fees report.
So move.
Thank you, Mr. Robinson.
Second.
Ms. Lee, thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Approved budget amendments. Now we need Mr. Robertson back up again.
Basically, I have two. One is for Council of Aging. They have what they call a SHIP grant. S-H-I-I-P, SHIP. They received that money, so I'm just trying to get it so I can have it on my revenue expenses. And then the second one is basically a request to reallocate insurance proceeds from an accident we had in order to repurchase vehicles that we need to, which was an ambulance.
That's the EMS vehicle. Yeah.
These are the two things that's on the budget amendment.
Okay.
I would say one thing about the Council of Aging. You know, each year, the way it works, if there's money unspent by any of the other four counties in the in our COG, right, that first people who ask for the money are the ones who are going to get it. I've already put our request in. So we're in front of that list. So if there's any unspent money.
So you may need to come back for another amendment for this grant.
Exactly. I already told Ms. Eubanks, because she called today to make sure that since we are, I won't say not cutting off services, but
scaling back.
Scaling back services. There had to be kind of a state thing that they're going to take it. That was taken care of, right, David? That was taken care of with Ms. Thompson? Right, so we should be cool, but we did put the request in. For it. We're the first of the list, so any additional money coming back will come to Virginia.
William, I got one question for you since we got you back up here again. We got the $400,000 right now, roughly, that Golden Leaf is due to us, okay? What else do we have out there right now that's due to us?
Basically, what's listed on there is okay. The things that I'm aware of that people owe me.
Okay, all right, so we're looking about another probably $500,000 total.
About 450.
450.
Because all right. The other ones actually came in already.
Yeah, I know, but there's still a shortage on that too. Well, so you getting that worked out? There's a shortage on that one also.
We've actually talked about that.
Okay.
And I think what it is when they first talked about how they wanted me to do it, I'd done the paperwork, and I think I can go back and submit a new invoice for a couple more months of our service.
All right.
I was just thankful to get that much.
Yeah, I agree. Been waiting long enough, haven't we?
Yes.
Okay. Let's don't wait that long on this Golden Leaf. That's a chunk of change. Okay. All right, number four on the board appointment is going to be approved.
We didn't
approve.
I'm sorry. Okay.
I'll make a motion. We approve the budget amendments.
Have a second.
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Wesson. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Number four, approve Modiv Care contract for non-emergency transport services.
Effective July 1 last year, North Carolina Medicaid began transforming a transformation into managed care with five managed care plans, rendering healthcare benefits to Medicaid members. And Emergency Management Director Mitch Cooper is on the line, and I will ask him to give you all a little bit of input into exactly what this contract is. Mitch, are you on the line?
I'm here. Good evening, Commissioners.
Good evening.
Modiv Care is taking over for NC Tracts, which is what we bill to for Medicaid reimbursement for North Carolina. So basically, North Carolina is taking the same steps that Medicare took federally and has hired a private contractor to manage those funds that we request for doing transports. We have the five agreements in place. We just need to finalize this contract. I know there's some questions about patient choice. Patients still have a choice who they ride with, but what ModivCare also has is if a patient cannot make a decision or doesn't want to make a decision, it is a fair way for companies and ourselves to go out and help people get where they need to be through this transport system. Nothing to change on our end as far as what we do for our patients or any provider in the county. It's just a new way that we'll be billing and going away from billing directly to the state to a third party private contractor.
Okay. Is there anyone else bidding for this contract?
Every transport provider will have an option to sign up for this contract. I mean, everybody in North Carolina, if you bill to NC Tracks, you should be going to this contract this year, and it will be retroactive back to July 1st of this year.
Any other questions? Okay. Need a motion on this?
Make the motion to approve the Medicare contract, non-emergency services.
Okay, Mr. West, we've got a first, and we have a second from Ms. Lee. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Approved resolution to improve State Road 1128, Weeping Mary Road. Is everybody taking a look at that?
So move.
All right. Second. Second by Ms. Lee. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Approved Bertie County Emergency Services fee scheduled for year end 22.
Mr. Cooper, you still on?
Yes, I'm here. Before you, you'll see the fee schedule. The last time it was changed was fiscal year 2019. Our third-party billing company, Collington, has suggested three changes for our BLS emergency, our ALS Level 2 emergency, and our specialty care transport. We have to meet, well, we want to meet the minimums that Medicare will set forth, and we want to be 20% above that for any extra dollars available. So this allows us that 20% above whatever the new Medicare rate is. In the blue is what our current rate was. So this brings us up to par with the rest of the country as far as what our new billing is. And that changed in January. And we brought it for you tonight.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Cooper. Any questions about this?
We've done this
numerous years. Can I have a second?
I second that.
Mr. Wilson, second. Mr. Robinson made the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. All right. Approved quick claim deed for upset bid for Rashonda Norfleet.
Yes, sir. I can address that.
Go ahead.
I conducted a tax foreclosure. We didn't have any bidders at the public sale on the courthouse steps, so Bertie County became the last and highest bidder that day. We waited the 10-day upset bid period. I believe there to be no upset bidders, so I conducted, did the rest of the paperwork, did a deed to the county, found out that step was skipped and there was an upset bidder. So this deed will correct that mistake. It'll take the, technically, since the sale hadn't been officially confirmed to the county, the deed that I did to the county wasn't effective, didn't actually pass title, but there's a deed on record that goes to the county. The deed, there will be a deed for me as commissioner of the sale to the high bidder, Miss Norfleet, but I'd like to also have a quit claim deed from the county that makes it clear that the county does not own the property. Miss Norfleet owns the property. She'll be paying the property taxes. It'll clean up the mistake.
So move.
Okay. Second. We got a proper by Mr. Robertson. We have a second by Ms. Lee. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Discussion agenda, Fire Protective Service District Technical Assistance Agreement.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. At the last meeting I was not here, and there were some questions as to why the contract went from $8,000 to $11,000. And I'm here just to basically share with you that the reason for that is when we first brought Greg in here in August, he gave us a scope of what he thought it was going to take to do this. And the total amount for that project would have been roughly $8,000, a little under $8,000. Once you gave us the approval to move forward, we brought Greg in here and Mitch and I went through and developed a full scope of what we wanted to accomplish. And when he came back with the proposal from that, it ended up being 60 hours as opposed to 40 hours. And that, along with the travel and per diem expenditures, puts this project at just a little bit over $10,000. So we made it to not to exceed $11,000 amount so that we could cover any incidentals that might come up.
So there was increases as far as
increased because of the number of hours that we asked him to add to it to in order to accomplish.
So we did ask for him to do that then, correct? Yes. Okay. All right.
And Jonathan went through the county attorney went through the contract and the little small issues that we had with that. We've all been managed them to work them out and everybody is in agreement with the contract now. So we're ready to move forward if y'all will approve us to sign.
I have a question, David. You said this $11,000 was not exceed that. So whatever amount of hours he worked other than over the 6 hours is on him.
If it becomes to work more than if it works more than 60 hours, he will know ahead of time and he will come to us. And if we feel the need to come to you to ask for an amendment to the contract, we will do so. But the impression is that we're going to get this done with less than 60 hours. But his estimate is 60 hours. So okay. We're not going to, there will be no additional charges to us without approval of the commission.
Okay. Any other questions?
And David, so this was a budgeted item in this year's budget. Yes. Okay, so now we're going to be a few thousand bucks over, right? And that's fine. We understand. I think we understand that. But Mitch, I want to make sure that anytime that we are and we approve something over budget, that we have a list of what those things are. So at the end of the year, I want us to know when did we decide, which is makes sense, to do something over budget, right? So that we can capture this and have a list to say, this is why we're over budget, because we agreed as a body to spend additional funds, right?
I agree.
So let's make sure we have that. If there are any other examples, I'm not trying to go back and create a whole bunch of work, but it's really nice at budget time to say, if we're over budget, this is why we're over. Here's the list, and this is what we approved, right? Does that make sense?
Good point.
Okay. All right. We need a motion on this tonight, or okay. Can I have a motion, please, in reference to this?
Move to approve.
Thank you, Mr. Second. Wesson. Thank you, Ms. Lee. We have a first and a proper second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. COVID action plan recommendations. Mr. Manager, is that going to be you?
Yes, it is. And human resources manager and risk manager, Courtney Ward, is also available if necessary. But due to the state of COVID in the county, of course, at the, let's see, two press releases ago, Albemarle, we had about, what was it, about 80 cases, I believe it was. The latest press release, we're up to 155 cases of COVID-19 in the county. And we're beginning to feel the effects of that within this organization, meaning a number of departments have employees in isolation because they have been confirmed cases of COVID-19. And as a result of that, we have begun to implement a number of things. And those things include, again, making our facilities open to the public by appointment only. And again, that, you know, no needs will go unmet in that regard. Same way we did before, we encourage our citizens to use the drop boxes to call if they absolutely want to come in to see someone in a particular department. We can't accommodate that. We just ask that they call and make an appointment first so that we can minimize the amount of traffic in any particular department. Of course, we also have gone back to making sure that our board meetings are only face to face for our commissioners and the pertinent staff, as well as presenters, and having the public, the primary source of their participation will be via Zoom. We have recommended that all Council on Aging activities, as well as sports with Parks and Rec, are just on hold until further notice, until things are under control. And we're also we are beginning to go back and transition into employees who are capable of working from home. There may be some remote working again to minimize the amount of activity in our buildings. The next item is a little bit controversial in terms of CDC has recently stated that quarantine and isolation periods has gone from 10 days to 5 days. And when it comes to isolation for people who have COVID, I think it's kind of important that we say a minimum of 5 days. I think it is possible for some people to return after 5 days. However, we know that some people some of the symptoms linger longer. So I think it's important that we treat that on a case-by-case basis and not just say across the board, you know, 5 days, because again,
can they be tested?
Yeah, that's my suggestion.
And Courtney, I'm gonna rely on you for this, but we looked into that a while back, and CDC was advising against having employees having a post-test, testing before they come back to work. Courtney,
because you can test positive long after
and I think that has something to do with it, because you can test it positive for a very long time after,
right?
The point of contagion.
Yeah, but if the CDC, there's a lot of controversy right now about the CDC switching to 5 days,
right?
Yes,
people are coming back, and there's a significant percentage of people mm-hmm. who still are positive, not testing positive, mm-hmm. still are can transmit.
Yeah.
After 5 days, and they're accepting that as a part of, well, that's the part of doing business. I'm not sure that makes a lot of sense. If mm-hmm. we have the ability, and if tests become available, mm-hmm. I mean, I would think that if a person gets tested to find that they are positive, then they would want to get tested to find out that they're not. I don't know if that's a big burden.
And that's my thought process also. I mean, mm-hmm. to quite honest with you, I mean, there's restaurants that are doing that right now, okay? Yeah. Before staff comes in, they're testing them and rapid test and see what it is, just to play it safe on their end.
Ms. Ward, Ms. Ward, I know that's something that we talked about a while back. Do you have any input regarding CDC's recommendation for us not to require the post-testing?
As far as, you know, any information regarding post-testing, Mr. Vaughn, I think you pretty much hit it right on the head. They recommended against it due to the possibility of continuing to test positive up to 3 months after the initial positive test. So that would really put our employees in some situations out possibly, you know, weeks, months, you know, if they continue to test positive, if we did implement that requirement.
But wouldn't it be possible to do really both things? To say that generally after X number of days, you need a positive test, but if somebody continues to test positive, I mean, a negative test, but then we could all make exception for that, couldn't we? If you're talking about the 3 months, I mean, come on, nobody's going to have COVID for 3 months. I mean, yeah, even though they could test positive.
Correct,
right.
Correct.
Right. So, because we would handle that by exception anyway, wouldn't we? We would need to know that, I would think. I'm just saying. I'd hate to go 5 days. And I think that percentage was somewhere like, 15, 16% of people.
And I think that's right scary, now, on top of that, I think every one out of three tests are given, people are coming back positive. Right now,
yeah,
27%. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we could look into it and see if, and I don't know. I thought the availability of the test was the issue that CDC had a problem
with. Well, that's definitely the case now, but before, you know, before we had this last big wave that we're experiencing now, I think it was kind of about the, you know, prolonged positive test. But right now, yes, testing availability is absolutely a concern, a problem.
Okay,
what is Biden doing? Anybody, I should know what I'm doing. What is Vida doing?
My daughter-in-law went back after she worked for urgent care at the beach, and she went back after 5 days. No test.
If you want to look into that and get back with us, Mr. Manager, you can.
Certainly.
Okay.
Certainly.
All right.
Absolutely.
All right. Number three, CATA CSBG.
And one second. Sorry. So we're going to visit that in 2 weeks?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
The only phone calls that I have had are for the Council on Aging, the exercise class, and the dance
of course.
Mm-hmm. that was canceled. Mm-hmm. So as soon as possible, if we can get those senior citizens back doing their thing, that would be great. So the phone calls. Yeah.
Okay. We're going to move forward now. Okay. CADOS. CSBG proposed work plan and affidavit.
Yes.
Have I looked at that?
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, if you don't have any questions, it's just a formality. When they CATA applies for this particular grant, they're required for to submit it to the board.
Okay. Everybody had a look at that? If you have, can I have a motion, please?
Motion to
approve. Okay. We got a motion by Mr. Wesson and a second by Mr. Robertson. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Thank you. All right, we're going to go into commissioners' reports. Ms. Lee.
None at this time.
Thank you, Ms. Lee. Mr. Wesson.
I only have one thing. In terms of the redistricting and the gerrymandering process, they pushed back the deadline for the three-judge panel, and it should be the 13th, which is Thursday. It's important for this county because our Senate district may be impacted by this. And it looks like that they may actually have to redraw some lines. I mean, if you followed the news, that one of the members of the legislature was made some statements that were proven to be not true about whether or not they had actually looked at prior maps before drawing this. And he said no, but when they found out that they truly had through a staff person, and those staffs, the maps that had been looked at were very similar to what was actually drawn. So that should not happen. So anyway, there's a good chance that the, at least the Senate district, and maybe others, but maybe will likely be affirmed to be, you know, to be required to be changed.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, is there a deadline for that?
The ruling has been the 13th. So we'll know once the 13th, then they'll set a new deadline. If they say it has to be redrawn, they'll set a new.
Mr. Atkins.
No, sir.
Okay. Mr. Robertson.
Well, I have one reminder for all because of the COVID-19. We are losing so many people. The family need to know that FEMA has a program that they're going to contribute $9,000 towards the funeral, to funeralize deceased loved one from COVID. Go to www.fema and apply.
Thank you, Mr. Robertson. That's Thank important. The mayor's and commissioners meeting is going to be held in Kelford. I believe it's at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock. 7, I believe. 7 p.m. That's Thursday. I will not be there. I'm heading back to Kentucky. As everybody knows, my mother-in-law had surgery, and my wife is up there right now taking care of her, and I'll be heading back to Kentucky either Wednesday afternoon or Thursday morning, definitely Thursday morning, no later than that. Is somebody going to be representing the commissioners there?
Yeah, I plan
to. I will.
Okay, yeah. Both of you will. Will you please let them know where I'm at, why I'm out there?
Yeah. Okay. And Mr. Chairman, I will not be available that day either, unfortunately.
Okay.
So I'll let them know.
Give my regrets.
Okay. And that will cover that. And other than that, public comments, Courtney?
Do not have any public comments at this time. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay. We do not have any public comments at this time.
All right, thank you. Mr. Manager, you got a report?
Yes, Chair, I do. Something that got by us and we did not include on the consent agenda, but I think you all aware, and we're in need of an official vote when it comes to the trailer campers that we have, that Haywood County has requested, because they've had some displaced citizens. Initially, they requested four. You all approved those four, and they have come back since that time and requested four more. And if we can just have I think you all are aware of that, but if we can just have an official vote where we convey those trailer campers to Haywood County,
okay,
that'd be great.
All right. Can I have a motion, please?
So moved.
All right. We've got a first by Ms. Lee and a second by Mr. Robertson. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Thank you. County Attorney's report.
Yes, sir. I just have one thing. This is regarding the conveying of land from the town of Windsor to Bertie County. And more specifically, it's regarding the affordable housing for teachers and local employees. As you know, the county has partially funded the affordable housing for teachers and local employees. The school board has done the same. The town has done the same. The town, though, is the owner of the property where the project is going to be constructed. Our firm, and Lloyd and I specifically, are assisting Partners for Bertie County Public Schools for the closing, for the loan from State Employees Credit Union Foundation. And we've done the title work. We're to the point where the town board has approved the conveyance. In discussions between Lloyd and I and the county attorney and the manager for the town, it's It's the town's belief that it's going to make it that the county has more authority to convey, better authority, smoother authority to convey the property to partners for Bertie County Public Schools than the town. Lloyd and I agree. So what I wanted to let this board know is that there's going to be a deed from the town of Windsor to Bertie County. And wanted to make sure that the commissioners would be willing to accept that deed. And then immediately after that, Partners for Bertie County Public Schools would make an offer so that it would be a gift from the town to the county. The offer would be something on the order of, well, first of all, the offer would be through what's called the negotiated sale process, which is a sale that's exposed to the public, which is a sale that's published in the newspaper with a 10-day upset period. But it's a unique project in the sense that Partners is going to be making a bid for, say, $100, but there will be several conditions attached to it. For instance, that Partners would construct high-quality, affordable housing for low- to middle-income state and local government employees with an emphasis on essential workers like teachers, deputies, police officers, and firefighters. Number two, that it's further conditioned on Partners spending no less than $3 million in the construction of the housing and commencing construction within about a year of conveyance of the property to Partners. And then lastly, there's a conditioning on low- to middle-income earners that would also be staying there. So, and that all ties into the, I could go into more detail, but the point being that we'd like to ask, and I want to make it clear too, that this is what I'm asking here is reporting that this deed is coming, but that Lloyd and I are separately representing Bertie County, Partners for Bertie County Public Schools. We can do that. Everybody's heading in the same direction. There's no conflict of interest. Our work with the town, between Partners and the town, is billed for, taken care of separately with Partners. It's not something that we're billing to the county. So we are keeping that separate. But if I could get approval by the board to accept the title with the understanding that it's going to be an offer right behind it to get it, to purchase it from the county.
Okay, does anybody have any questions for Jonathan?
Yeah,
go ahead.
If for some reason Partners, that group does not follow through, is there something in there that says the county then takes the land and gives it right back to the town?
No, ma'am, there won't be any.
We'll keep it. It's an asset.
It's a very good asset. Let me be clear that the reason that we need to do this is because we are, you know, we hope to have these apartments up and running by the end of April of 23. So even though that's a long time away, if we have to go directly through the town and that conveyance, it's going to take us more time, and it's going to have some things that the municipality has to do, like a revision clause where the property has to come back to them after 15 years. We don't want to have to do that. So the town doesn't want to do that either. But the only way to get around that is for the town to give it to the county, and then the county can convey it. The county will only make $100, but $100 is $100. But we have $3.1 million right now ready to go. So
okay,
the project is going to go forward.
All right. Okay. Everybody understands this. Can I have a motion in reference to this?
So moved.
Can I have a second?
Second.
Okay. We have proper first and a second. All in favor? Aye. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Any other reports that we need to do? Okay. At this time, we already asked about public comments. There were none, correct, Courtney?
Yes, sir. No public comments.
Okay. We're going to be going into closed session pursuant North Carolina General Statutes 143-318.11A3. And at this time, we're going to be going into closed session. Back in open session, excuse me. All right. And at this time, we're at the end of the schedule here. And we're going to recess this meeting till tomorrow, and be 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. Can I have a motion?
Here in this room?
Yes. Okay.
I make a motion. We recess until tomorrow morning at 9 a.m.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Did I hear you say it wouldn't go past what?
2 o'clock. We're planning on.
Thank you all. Have a great evening.
2 o'clock.